Dick. They could certainly give us one great scientific wrestling match here tonight, but I don't think Koloff's going to let him do that.
What's wrong with you?
Some kids are picking on me at school today.
Well, did you hit them?
No.
Next time somebody says something to you, you just hit them where it counts. That'll shut them up.
Jesus says to turn the other cheek.
Well, Jesus had 12 guys backing him up. You got 12 guys backing you up.
No.
All right, look. Next time somebody looks at you funny, you just hit them with this.
But they're a lot bigger than me.
Okay. Hit him with this.
And that would be exactly why we are beginning a brand new series called Parenthood here at our church. Well, today is the second Sunday of the month, so I just want to invite you again, if you've never taken the Discover 201 class, I would love to have lunch with you today. We have childcare taken care of, lunch provided for your children right after service in our family center across the way. I want to invite you to come to Discover 201. We're talking about the essential habits of Christianity. We have a Discover course here, which is really a very easy, clear path on how you connect with the life of our church. It's just 4 classes. You don't have to take them in any order, and there's no prerequisites. So if you'd like to join today, we'd love to have you. There's no registration. Just meet us over in the Family Center right after service. Now, how many of you are a parent here today or had a parent? I think that includes everybody in the room. How many of you would agree with me? Parenting can be quite difficult and can be a challenge at times. Mark Twain taught on parenting like this. Mark Twain said, when your child turns 13, put them in a barrel and nail the lid shut and then feed them through the knot hole. Then when they turn 16, plug the knot hole. Mark Twain on parenting. Now, if you're a parent, you know that, you know, parenting can be challenging, but there are a lot of joys to parenting. One of my favorite things about parenting is just the unlimited amount of goofy stuff that your children do. Just last week, Asher started preschool. It's his first time, and 4 years old, it was a very sad day for mom and me because it's like our little boy was just born and now he's starting school and we're on the way to school and this is what he says to us in the car. Now, you're going to drop me off and not stay, right? I mean, most kids don't want their parents to leave them, and our son is like, all right, make sure you don't stay. Just drop me off and don't. But then he redeemed himself and said, well, at least come back and pick me up. So I was like, the kid is becoming so independent already, just like a little teenager at 4 years old. Well, I pray through this next 4 weeks that God will really bless your parenting, whether you're a parent, grandparent, or just in relationships with other human beings. This is going to be valuable principles just if you have other relationships with other human beings. So this series really is for everybody, but specifically for parenting. Let me just give a quick disclaimer. Very easy to listen to a series like this for some parents who may not have heard these principles and would say to me, I wish I would have known that 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 15 years ago. I want to make sure that you understand God is not a God of judgment or condemnation. If you hear something and you say to yourself, I wish I would have known that years ago, I would have done things completely differently, don't allow Satan to beat you up over stuff you didn't know. God's a God of second chances, forgiveness, and grace. Because, you know, the truth is, a lot of the stuff you may have not ever heard before and you wish you would have known it. But the point of this message is not to be judgmental or condemning. The point of this message is to go after the young families in our church that need to understand a biblical view of parenting. So I just want to throw that disclaimer out there as we get into this series. Next week, we're going to be talking about 3 very practical principles from the life of Jesus that will really enhance and help create a healthy relationship with your children. Today, we're talking about the foundation principle for this series, the principle that you really have to get down for the entire series, and we're going to talk about the parent's priority. If you would like to follow along, the notes are in your worship pack on your seat, or if you're a YouVersion person, if you read the Bible on your iPhone or your iPad, or if you're backslidden on your BlackBerry, all of the notes are live on YouVersion. Just go into live events. You can click on Coastline, the parent's priority, and you have all the scripture and notes right on your phone to follow along with. We're talking about the foundation principle, a parent's priority is to gradually transfer a child's dependence away from them until it solely rests on God. That is the biblical priority for parenting. And oftentimes, biblical priorities are contradictory to cultural priorities. We live in a culture where the priority of parenting in our culture is to provide for your children. And there's nothing wrong with providing for your children, but that's not our number one priority as Christians. Our number one priority as parents, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, is we are to transfer a child's dependence away from us, not to independence. That's also a danger. We have a lot of parents who think their job is to help their children become independent in the world. It's not about becoming independent. It's becoming dependent on the right person, the only person that will never fail them, that will never betray them, that will always be for them, and that is God the Father. Our job is to transfer, because when the child is born, they are totally dependent on us. I mean, that newborn baby, when you bring them home from the hospital, you have to feed them, you have to clothe them, you have to care for them. They can't do anything on their own. They are totally dependent on us. But as they grow, our priority as parents is to help transfer that dependence away from us and onto God. We find this principle in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I invite you to look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 1 to give you a little context. Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses just receives the Ten Commandments from God and the decrees that the nation of Israel are to live by. And then he goes into chapter 6 and gives probably one of the most famous teachings on parenting in the entire Bible. This is to parents in chapter 6. Verse 1, these are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Verse 2, and you and your children and your grandchildren. He's talking to parents here. He's talking to grandparents here. Must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and command, then you will enjoy a long life. Our job as parents, as grandparents, is to teach our children and our grandchildren and generations after them to fear the Lord our God. Now, I want you to understand, when the Old Testament says fear God, it does not mean to be afraid of God. The best definition of fearing God in the Old Testament, really the counterpart in the New Testament of fearing God in the Old Testament is simply to be Spirit-filled, simply to be led by the Holy Spirit. When we fear God, we are overwhelmed by God. We are overtaken by God. We stand in awe of just the incredible awesomeness of who God is, and we completely yield and surrender our life to God. That's what fearing him means. So when it says teach your children to fear God, it means teach your children to build your life around God, to truly stand in awe of a holy and awesome and loving and grace-filled Father that wants the best for them. And the beauty of this, parents, is that you literally have the ability as a parent to change generations. You have to understand how significant your job is. It's not just about that little child living at home right now. It's about your grandchildren. It's about their children. It's about their grandchildren. You, as a parent, literally have the ability to impact generations and generations to come. You have to understand how significant your job as parents really is. So the question is, how? How do we do this? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have the two foundational principles, really, probably the two most important principles of parenting, because if you will get these two things down, everything else flows naturally out of these two things. So we're going to look at the two principles out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 to really build a great foundation in parenting. Number one, love your God. We are to teach our children to love the Lord our God. How do we do that? By loving the Lord our God. We have to show them that we love the Lord our God. Verse 4 is a very famous verse in the Hebrew. In fact, Jewish people today still recite this verse in the Hebrew three times a day. Shama Yisrael, Yehovah, Elohim Yikad, which simply means, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. We serve one God and he is Lord. And then in verse 5, it goes on to say, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Let me ask a question. How much of your heart does the Bible say you are to love God with? All. Do you notice the Bible does not say you are to love the Lord your God with some of your heart? You are to love the Lord your God with a percentage of your heart? But wouldn't you agree that most people today, and in fact, maybe many of us here in this room today, don't really love the Lord our God with all of our heart. We love the Lord our God with some of our heart. Because we still have areas in our life that we want to keep from God. And, you know, I want to fit God into my life because I don't want to leave home without God. You know, so I want to put on God on Sundays. But, you know, the rest of the week is, it's really mine. I don't want God to overtake my life. I just want to kind of fit God into my life with everything else I do. I have work, I have family, I've got sports, I have God. And we just give God a piece of our life. But we don't really love him with all of our heart. We love God with some of our heart. And one of the most dangerous things you can do as a parent is to expose your child to just a little bit of God. One of the most dangerous things you'll ever do is to expose your children to a little bit of God. If your children see you as a parent, love the Lord your God with some of your heart, it's the most dangerous thing you can do. Why? A few months ago, I had to take my son down to get a flu shot. He was, 4 years old. How many know 4-year-olds and needles, not a good combination. They just don't like them. And so we took him in to get a flu shot, and he got the little shot. And he's a tough little dude, but, it shook him up a little bit. He had some tears, and as a dad, I want to comfort him. So I'm like, well, what can I do to make you feel better? And my son always has a patent response every time he's hurt, and you ask him that question. Candy, Dad. The only thing that will make me feel better is candy, Dad. I don't know where he learned it, but he started saying it about 2 years old, and to this day, it's still his response for everything. Well, what is a flu shot? A flu shot is simply when they inject you with a little bit of the flu to make you immune to the whole thing. And I think that's what so many of us parents are doing today. We expose our children to a little bit of God. We don't build our life around God. We don't get carried away with God and the church. We just, a little bit of God and a little bit of this. And we just expose them to a little bit where they become immune to the fullness of God. They become immune to the entirety of his truth and his love and his joy and his peace. And so what happens is the child grows up, and because you've exposed him just a little bit of God and some of God, and they saw in you that you love God with some of your heart but not all of your heart, then the child grows up and he realizes he needs to have church be a part of his life, but he doesn't really have a relationship with God. He doesn't really have any intimacy with God. And the problem is we live in a real world. I mean, how many will agree? There are a lot of things that distract us from loving God with our whole heart. I mean, we're busy. We are busy, busy people here in America, and we have so much that distracts us from truly loving God with all. And we do it with the best intentions. I mean, we have really good intentions. I mean, as a father, I want to give my son things that I never had growing up. Now, I really want him to have the best. I want him to have the opportunities that I necessarily didn't get growing up. So what do? We work really hard. And we work so hard, and we pour ourselves into our career, and we pour ourselves into our jobs because we want to provide for our family and give our family the things that we never had growing up. And the entire time, we're preventing them from getting the thing they really need most. And that's us. See, your children need more. Much more than the stuff you can provide for them. They need your time. We're going to see that next week in the life of Jesus. They need your time. They need your love. They need that much more than all the stuff you can provide. But we want to give them, the best. We want them to have the best opportunities. So what do? We get them signed up in everything under the sun. They're in sports camp and soccer and football and basketball and surf camp and ballet and dance and gymnastics. And we literally sign them up for absolutely everything. So they are so busy. And then we got to work even harder to pay for it all. And then we got to work even harder because we've got to be able to transport them from one activity to the next activity in a nice car because, God forbid, their little bodies sit in a car that doesn't have leather. And then so many of us live in parts of North County where if you don't get your child a car when they turn 16, how many know that is borderline child abuse? You can get reported. We live in this society where we got to get them so busy, and then we work really hard because we got to make sure they get the right education. And before we know it, we become child-centered parents instead of God-centered parents. We begin to revolve our life around our children instead of revolving our life around our God. And I see people like this all the time. Just the other day, I was in Panera and I ran into a guy that I hadn't seen in church in quite a while. And if you ask this guy, he would tell you he is a Christ follower. He loves God and is part of church. And I haven't seen him in a while, so I didn't know what was going on. So I just asked him, well, how long has it been since you've been out of church? And he said, a couple months. And I said, wow, what? Why? And he said, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. We are so busy. I mean, we've got three kids and they're always going different directions. And we got sports and activities and this and that. And we're just so busy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you can't make time to worship in God's house with God's people? I mean, don't kid yourself, parents. You are sending an extremely significant message to that child on what your priorities are. You know, unfortunately, we have parents that have kids living at home that would never consider giving them the option of whether or not they go to school on Monday morning, yet they give them that option on whether or not they go to church. So what you are doing, and they do it with the good intentions. They're, well, I want my child to learn how to choose for themselves. They don't need to choose for themselves when they're that age. They need to be led when they're that age. I didn't get a choice growing up, man. It was church, period. I was force-fed church. And you know what? When I finally hit an intellectual crisis and an emotional crisis in my life, the first place I ran to was the place I was familiar with. Unfortunately, we see that generation of kids today where parents didn't want to force them to go to church because they were forced to go to church. And so what happens now is when those kids have emotional crisis and intellectual crisis, they run to where they're familiar, and they're not familiar with the church because they were given options. They were given a choice. I wasn't given a choice. I mean, you tried to use the excuse of being sick in my family, my mom would be like, praise God, we're going to bring you to church and they're going to pray for you to get healed tonight. I mean, there was no excuse. We were in the house of God. Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, as for me and my family, I'm going to give my children a choice. He said, we will serve the Lord. Don't let your kids believe that school is more important than the house of God. That public education is greater than a godly education they get in God's house. Don't send that signal to your children. And I know some of you are going to think I'm crazy for being that hard about it. But I'm telling you, I was the rebellious kid. I was not a Christian in high school, and I was forced to go to church. And when I finally hit a crisis in my life, I ran back to the church because of all those years being forced to go to church when I didn't want to be there. But I had this word of God put into me. Even when I didn't want it, even when I wasn't listening, the word of God was put into me. And when I finally hit a crisis in my life, the first place I ran was back to the house of God. Don't kid yourselves. How important is your involvement as a parent in church? Let's look at a recent survey I found about your involvement. And when I say the word involvement, I'm talking dream team involvement. I'm talking about contributor, not somebody that shows up late and leaves early. That's no different than going to a movie theater. I'm talking about you are the church. You are involved. How important is your involvement in church? Well, if a mom and dad both go to church or are involved in church, 72% of their kids will be involved in church. That's the odds. 72% of the time, their kids will be involved in church. If only the mom goes to church, then only 15% of kids will be in church when they grow up. Now look at the dads. How important are the dads? If only dad goes to church, mom stays home, dad goes to church. If dad goes to church, 55% of kids will serve God. How important are the dads? Incredibly important. Dads, you are incredibly important. If neither mom and dad go to church, then only 5% of kids will actively serve God when they grow up. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, with your words and your actions. Recently, the Holy Spirit is really, I mean, Amanda has really been on me. You know, Amanda oftentimes, the Holy Spirit uses her in my life to challenge me. She sent me a text the other day about watching my language around my son, because now he's going around the house saying certain words. And I know you're shocked that as a pastor that I'm not talking about the bad words. I'm talking about, you know, like heck and the C-R-A-P word. I know that's horrible. It's not cute when you hear a four-year-old say that word. But, you know, my son's been going around the house recently saying, what the heck? What the heck? And we're like, oh, what? You know, why is he saying what? And you want to laugh because it's kind of cute. But then you realize four-year-olds shouldn't be saying what the heck. And so, what the heck? He got it from me. And so I'm now having to be very careful with my words at home. And, you know, the question that we have to ask is, do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart or with some of your heart? And in your notes, there's a little a question. And you can check off all or you can check off some. And I just, you don't have to turn it in. It's not a test. It's between you and God. But I'd ask you to be honest with that question. Really reflect on that question today. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart or some of your heart? Because some will make you immune. If you expose your children to a little bit of God, they will become immune. And so really think about it like this. What if I had invisible power? What if I was invisible man and I could hang out in your house for a day? What if I hung out in your house? What kind of magazines would I see lying around your house? What kind of books? What kind of television programs would be playing on your television at home if I could just kind of hang out behind the scenes at your house? What if I went through your internet web browsing history? What would I find on your, who are you really? Do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart or with some of your heart? What kind of language would I hear bad words like heck or possibly even worse being spoken in your home around your children? What if I looked in your checkbook at your financial priorities? Where would God be amongst your financial priorities? Who are you really? Do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, or some of your heart, some of your soul, and some of your strength? Parents, the best thing you can do is to teach your children to fear God and to love God with all their heart. Second thing I want to talk about is lead your family. Lead your family. I want you to look at the spiritual leadership in Deuteronomy chapter 6, looking at verse 6. It says it like this, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Parents, are you repeating the things of God again and again to your children? Do you repeat them daily? Are they hearing the word of God? Are you teaching them the word of God? Are you teaching them the things of God? Talk about them when you are at home. See, this isn't just for Sunday at church. Don't let your child's only spiritual leadership come on Sunday when you bring him to church. You are their spiritual leader. We are here to partner with you. You are the spiritual leadership in that home. And when they are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up, tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Spiritual disciplines are not just for the weekend. They're for every day of the week. Edward Duke of Windsor, he made a great statement about the United States. He said it like this: the thing that impresses me most about America is the way the parents obey their children. The way the parents obey the children. Parents, question, are you leading your children or are your children leading you? Think about that for a moment. You lead them spiritually. You set the tone. You set the atmosphere in your home. So the question is, how do we lead? Well, what I'm not going to do today is tell you how to exactly do it. What I am going to do is give you a couple principles that you can apply to your leadership to help your leadership become successful. I can't tell you how Amanda and I do it because our philosophy is different based on our life calling, based on our career. I've got a very busy Saturday and Sunday every week, so my work schedule is not the same as most people's work schedule. So we can't lead our family the way most people lead our family, but I can give you a couple principles that you can apply to your family that really helps your family. And one of the first ones is you have to lead intentionally. You cannot lead your family accidentally. You can't just allow happenstance to occur. You have to lead intentionally. You've got to decide. Let me fill you in on something, parents. This week, I can guarantee you your children are going to do something to set you off. I can guarantee it right now. I can guarantee at some point this next week, your children will do something. And I know most of us as parents, we just act shocked. I cannot believe my child did that. I am just absolutely shocked. I have taught him. I have trained him. I am just shocked that he would ever do something like that. Now, don't be shocked. Plan ahead how you're going to react. Don't allow your child's actions to lead your reactions. You decide ahead of time how you're going to handle the situation when your child does it. Because I guarantee your child will do it. And what most of us as parents do is we just act shocked and we react at the situation and we allow our emotions to get out of control instead of planning ahead and leading intentionally in our family, knowing that these things are going to happen. So I'm going to decide ahead of time how I handle this situation. So one of the first things we do in our family is we lead counterculturally. We lead counterculturally. If culture goes one way, oftentimes we'll go another way because we're Christians. We don't have to do the same things everybody else in the world does. People say, well, you're weird. Well, truth is, I'd rather be weird than normal because normal isn't working in America right now. So I would rather be a little countercultural. See, keeping up with the Joneses in North County, it's, you know, other parts of America, it's about materialism and all the stuff. Here in North County, keeping up with the Joneses is how many things you can sign your kids up for. You know, your neighbor says, well, my kid's in soccer and football and basketball. Really? Well, my neighbor's in my kid's in soccer, football, basketball, and surf camp. You know, we got to one-up everybody. You know, we got to try to get our kids signed up and for one more activity than the neighbor so that we can show how great a parents we are by keeping our kids so busy and stressed out and going from one thing to the next thing. See, in our family, people always ask, well, why isn't Asher signed up for this or why isn't he signed up for that? Because we value family time. He's young. I don't want him signed up for everything right now. I want to spend time with him because I understand where family identity is strong, peer pressure is weak. You can't have great family identity if your kids are going different directions all week. If you don't have a family night where you're doing family devotions and you're pouring into your family and you're really, you know, building family identity where the whole family is there loving on each other and supporting one another and you have that family night, peer pressure will be weak where family identity is not strong. So family nights, family devotions. You know, we want Asher to have a wonderful time serving Christ in our home. We want him to love serving God in our home. We have date nights. Sometimes it frustrates him. He's like, well, I don't want you guys to leave, but my son has to know he's not most important to me. Did you hear me, parents? My son is not the most important thing in my life. My wife is. You know, outside of my faith, outside of Christ, my wife is more important than my son. And biblically, that's the way it should be. If your children ever becomes more important than your spouse, you are heading down a rocky road in your family. Children should never be. Even secular psychologists tell us today that one of the greatest forms of child abuse, they call it surrogate spousal syndrome. That's when you put your child in a position that your spouse should be in. When your child's meeting your emotional needs or becomes more important to you than your spouse, it's incredibly, incredibly dangerous to your family. 20 years ago, a child's sense of self-esteem and security and identity came from knowing his parents loved him. Today, it's not true anymore. Do you know where a child's self-esteem comes from today? Knowing that his dad loves his mom and his mom loves his dad. Why? Because they go to school with friends who are living in broken homes. And so every time you get in a fight, every time you have an argument, they live in fear, they live in anxiety, they live in stress, wondering whether or not they're going to be like Johnny at school who doesn't have a daddy living at home. One of the greatest things you can do for your children is prioritize your marriage. Make date night a priority. Make your spouse a priority over your children. It's one of the healthiest things you can do in raising children. We lead intentionally. We are countercultural. You set the standard. Just because everyone else has to do it doesn't mean your kid has to do it. You know, there's a mom who is always struggling with her daughter, son, about seeing this rated R movie. And he was like, well, all my friends get to see the movie and all their parents let them see the movie. And it just has a little bit of bad. And she just prayed and prayed and prayed that God would give her a way to kind of address the situation. So she finally told her son, she said, okay, you can see the movie if you help me make some brownies first. He said, yeah, as long as I can lick the spoon. Absolutely, you can lick the spoon. So they get the brownie mix out and they're stirring the chocolate and they're making the brownie. And then she gives them a teaspoon. She goes, I need one more ingredient. I need you to go outside and just a little, I just need to get you a little bit of scoop of dog poop and bring it back to me. What? That's sick. That's disgusting, Mom. Just give me a little scoop and bring it back. So he finally brings it back. She goes, well, that's a little too much. And she cuts it in half and puts it in the brownie mix and stirs it up. Says, now you can lick the spoon. I'm not licking that spoon. That's disgusting. But it's just a little bit of dog poop. It's just a little bit of dog poop. And it finally dawned on him. A little bit of ungodliness is too much ungodliness for your children. You may call me prude. You may call me old-fashioned. so be it. I'm fighting for your children right now. I'm fighting for your children. You set the standard. You don't have to do what every other family does. You don't have to let your kids do what every other parent lets their kids do. You set the standard. Your child's happiness is not your priority over their godliness. See, as parents, we live in a generation where our child's immediate happiness always takes precedence over their pursuit of holiness and their pursuit of godliness. And we give in as parents because we want our children to be happy. Their happiness is not your priority over your standards as a family, over your values as a family, over your family identity. That's priority. Now, how do we train our children? Proverbs 22:6 gives us a great teaching. It says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Train your children. Direct them. In the Hebrew, this word direct is the word chanak. It means the palate of a mouth. It's literally to initiate or dedicate or train. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew midwives would take a newborn baby, and if the baby wouldn't nurse, if the baby wouldn't eat, they would take this paste and they would put it on the chanak, the palate of the baby's mouth. And what it would do, it would initiate a hunger in the child to begin to nurse. Well, parents, that is your job. Your job is to initiate a hunger in your child for the things of God. Your job is to train them to pursue God and his holiness and to kind of initiate that craving and that hunger for godly living and godliness. Because when they see that godly living works, they begin to desire it. They begin to hunger it. So you train, you initiate, you transfer that dependence. Proverbs gives us 7 ways to train our children, 7 key things that we should be teaching and training our children with. I want to show you a video of how we do it in the Jane home.
Parenting can be a lot of fun. The Bible tells us we should train our children, and Proverbs teaches us 7 specific ways to train our children. The first one, if you're taking notes, is that we should train our children to manage God's money.
Debt is bad.
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 And another thing is to train your children to carefully select their friends.
See, I can't be your friend.
I can't be your friend.
Because you're mean to people.
You're mean to people.
Now say it again. I can't be your friend because you're mean to people. Yeah, say it real loud.
I can't be your friend because I'm mean to people.
Because you're mean to people.
Because you're mean to people.
And another thing is to train your children to watch their words. Don't let them say,
what the heck?
Hey, you can't say that. What the heck?
And another way to train our children is to be responsible. Remember, boys, there are certain things that we do for the ladies.
Slam it. Put it down for the ladies. Put it down for the ladies.
Parents, also remember to train your children to guard their minds. And also remember to train your children to be generous.
Hey, Asher, we got to find a toy that we're going to give away to Jesus. Can you go find a toy that you're going to give to Jesus? Go find us a toy.
And most important, parents, always remember to train your children to fear God.
Love the Lord God.
Love the Lord.
With all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind.
You know, parents, we are, thank you. We are very serious here about partnering with you, but honestly, it's just not our responsibility. God has called you to be the spiritual leaders of your family, to set the tone, to set the atmosphere, to expose them to the things of God. Not just some of God, but to all of God. His power, his life, his love, his holiness, his grace, his mercy, his joy, his peace. It's your job. You know, when they're young, they totally depend on us. But our goal is to teach them how to depend on God. How? Well, we love God with all of our heart. And then two, we lead our family intentionally. The other day, I was driving down the street with Asher. And, you know, to get him to pray, I always ask him, who do you want to pray for? And then he'll throw out names, and then we'll pray for the people. And this week, we were driving down the road, and said, who do you want to pray for? He said, Ali and Corbin. Well, you know, Ali and Corbin's father has been in Afghanistan on deployment for the last, you know, 6 months. He actually gets home in an hour. He'll be home with his family. And so we're driving down the street, and he says, Father God, I thank you for Ali and Corbin. Help their daddy to come home soon. And I thought, you know what? He gets it. He's on the right path. He's learning how to trust in the only one who will never fail him. He'll always be there for him. You know, my most important job is really being a parent, teaching my child to fear God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength. So as I leave you today, the question is, are you leading your children, or are your children leading? Do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, or do you love the Lord your God with some of your heart? If you want to be great parents, you got to get these very simple foundational principles down. Next week we'll get very practical, but today is really the foundation of parenting biblically and understanding the biblical priorities as parents. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we close today. Before we leave, I just want to ask if there's anybody here today, the most important reason why we show up on Sunday is to give people an opportunity to say yes to God. And if you honestly looked at your life this morning, you would say that God's just not the priority of my life. He's, you know, I like to have God a part of my life. Or maybe this is your first time in church and he's just never been a priority in your life. But this morning you realize that there is a loving God that went through every cost to reach you. Let his own son die to give you a chance to know him, to rebuild that relationship with you. And let me explain something about God. It is impossible for God, the creator of the universe, to be anything but first place in your life. God can't be second place in your life. He can't be third place in your life. God is either Lord of everything in your life, or he's Lord of nothing in your life. He's all or nothing. That's just the reality of who he is. Because of who he is, he can't be anything else. It's not that he doesn't want to. He just can't. God's not an accessory. He's not a wristwatch or a handbag that you put on Sunday. You either build your life around God, love him with all your heart, or you don't. But we're simply not here just to learn how to be good people and, you know, try to figure out how to live a good life. We are here today to love a holy God, a grace-filled God, a merciful God. And so I want to ask if there's anyone here today that needs to make a decision this morning to put God first in your life. Whether it's the very first time you've ever made this decision, or maybe at one time God may have been first in your life, but somehow your relationship with God got disconnected and you feel like you're away from him this morning. And so for you, you simply need to come back to God and reprioritize, put him back into first place in your life. The process is simple. Jesus said, no one gets to the Father except through me. So the way to put God first in your life is simply to say yes to Jesus Christ. That's it. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, I want a chance to say a prayer for those of you that need to make this decision. We're not going to single you out. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. I just want to know who you are so that I can say a prayer for you. So if that's you today, you need to put God first in your life with nobody looking around and every eye closed. Would you just raise your hand quickly right now so that I can pray for you? Thank you. 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 Now I want to lead you in a very simple prayer that I want you to pray to yourself. The first part of this prayer is you simply give God an invitation to take first place in your life. You just say, God, I invite you to have first place. I say yes to Jesus. So right now, in your own words, in your own way, just invite God to have first place in your life by saying yes to Jesus. Second part of the prayer is you just ask God to forgive you. Every single one of us have made mistakes. I don't deserve to be here. I was a terrible sinner. I did a lot of evil, horrible things in my life, and I'm only here today because of God's loving grace. Every one of us had to take a step at some point and say, God, forgive me. So what I want you to do now is just in your own words, just say, God, forgive me. And then the last thing is you just say, thank you. Just say, thank you. Thank you for giving your son to die in my place. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for wanting to know me. Thank you for giving me this chance. Just say thank you. Now, for those of you that prayed that prayer, there's a couple other things I want to encourage you to do. Is I want you to tell somebody out loud today you prayed that prayer. The Bible says when you believe in your heart, that's what you just did, and you confess with your mouth. Tell somebody out loud. You can also, on the Connect card in your worship pack, there's a little box that says, I put God first. You can check that box. You can drop it off in one of our tithe and offering boxes in the back. And we want to connect with you and help you figure out what it means to really follow God and serve God. Also outside, there's these books that say, now what? That's a real honest question people have when they put God first. Now what? This book will help you figure that out. It's all free. There's Bibles out there for you. So I encourage you to take that with you. As we close, I want to say a prayer of blessing over all of our parents and grandparents and just the whole church. Would you stand with me? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray blessing over the parents that are here today, over the grandparents that are here today. Lord, if there is any condemnation that came through in this message from people who wish they would have known this years ago, break that right now. Let them know that is not you. You are not a God of condemnation. You are a God of love. And I pray for the young families that they would learn to apply these principles, to transfer their children's dependence away from themselves and onto you by teaching them to love you with their whole heart. And that they would lead their families intentionally, that they would set their own family values and principle, and that they would live counterculturally as believers. They don't have to do everything all their neighbors do. They can set their own values as a family. And if they're called weird, so be it. I'd rather be weird and live for you than normal and see my kids go to hell. So I pray blessing over them. Let this series be a blessing to them. Let it just create some healthy conversations between husbands and wives and really setting down and figuring out how you want them to lead their family and direct them, speak to them, give them guidance in their leadership. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thanks for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you next week for week 2.